Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio Live. Jim Masters here. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us all around the world. We're continuing our exclusive and in-depth conversations with Dr. Don Gilbert, highly sought-after keynote speaker, licensed clinical counselor and consultant, and a certified coach with John Maxwell and Dr. Daniel Amen. An author and the CEO and founder of New Life Counseling and Coaching, Dr. Don has a master's degree in mental health counseling and a PhD in counseling psychology. Since he opened his practice in 2002, he's grown to three locations and employs a caring staff, as well as professional counselors, a dietitian, and a nurse practitioner. They work with their clients holistically through solid psychological theory, faith-based services, and interventions. Dr. Gilbert clarifies that coaching, counseling, and consulting have major significant differences, and while they certainly overlap, the framework for one is distinct. He explains that his counseling is focused on helping people overcome a variety of mental health issues. A coach, of course, is a collaborator who asks the right questions and provides structure and a process to maximize the potential for future experience in the client's career, businesses, or any other area of life. The focus is on the future, with an emphasis on vision and growth. Dr. Gilbert continues to guide us towards the light and the right path to keep us grounded so we can learn to live life to the fullest. He's changing the world one person at a time. It's beautiful work that he's doing. He's got books that we're going to be talking about, too, that have been published and that he's working on, so it's quite exciting. Let's welcome him back to our show for part two. Dr. Gilbert, welcome back to Close Up Radio Live. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you very much. It's terrific to be here on a Monday morning.
It's always great, right? It's a good way to kick things off when there's inspiration and empowerment involved. It sets the tone for the rest of the week, too, in a very positive way. Let's recap a little bit for the audience that's listening today who possibly didn't get a chance to hear the first part of the two-part series. Tell us about the work that you do and the uniqueness of it.
Well, I first started my bachelor's degree is actually a theology degree. So I started as a pastor, went back to school, and got my master's and PhD so I could go into counseling so I could work with people one-on-one. That was a passion and an interest in me. I did my dissertation on marriage therapy, and the practices just continue to grow as I have also personally grown. And, you know, I've read a lot of books by Dr. Maxwell, Napoleon Hill, and a variety of other what I would term as leadership authors, people who have been in the field for a long time. I've just been inspired by a lot of different people to figure out who I am, what my gifts are, and to learn to use them in a way that is beneficial and helpful to others. And that's been my passion and my journey as a pastor, and then a mental health counselor, and then as a owner of a business. And I'm just thankful that I've been able to do that.
You know, I mentioned in the introduction that it is a faith-based practice. Tell us about that and the importance of that.
Yes, so my early experiences, of course, growing up as well as my BA in theology is really foundational in terms of my values and my value system. That tends to be what we use as a construct, if you will, a faith-based viewpoint. But we do work with anybody from any walk of life, and we work with people who believe in God, don't believe in God, believe in something else. So what we do is we have faith-based principles that we use that we also then pair with psychological truths that are what I call universal principles that can be applied to anyone at any time for any reason. And so then that is the basis for what we do for counseling and in a holistic sense, looking at the whole person, whether it's intellectual, emotional, physical, relational, or spiritual. And so we try to work with people in terms of looking at their whole life and saying, you know, what's going on in each part, because when something's wrong in one part, it affects all. And so that's really been our philosophy, and everybody that works here is willing to work under that philosophy. And so that's just been my passion, to work in a value-centered way, working with people, helping them to discover their own values and helping them to grow. How do I live those? How do I think? How do I make decisions and live that value out of my life?
I mentioned, too, that you are a published author, which is quite exciting. Tell us about the books that you have and the books that you're working on.
Yeah, my first book was actually my dissertation. You know, those are a very long, arduous process, but it is the first book that was published. It's more written in terms of a research project. My second book was actually a chapter out of a larger book that was 40 chapters of an international bestseller. On the voyage to your vision. So each of us talked about how we started and what was the vision for and the journey that we're on. So that's the second book. And then I have an ebook that I wrote that's kind of a motivational book that I tend to give out for clients who are my coaching consulting clients. It's just an inspirational book where I take, quotes from famous people and write a little thought or two about that, and hopefully that it inspires and motivates people to continue to look at their life and grow. So those are the books that I've already written. I'm certainly in the process of writing several other books at this point, but in my busy life, trying to find time to write.
You know, Principles of Living, it's a rich resource of thought-provoking methodologies and practicality centered on helping people thrive and not just survive, because you believe there are no quick, foolproof ways of making changes in our lives, right? We need to have a growth mindset, which is really essential for development, and that is what you teach in your training programs.
Correct. I teach all of my interns and my temp licensed people that I do consulting and supervision with. So I try to teach them the whole concept that you have to have the right mindset. And if you don't have a growth mindset, then it's going to be problematic. So one of the things that I tell people is that there's a huge difference in a mindset between somebody who's trying not to lose versus someone who's trying to win. And so we talk about that in terms of clients who are out of the area of, let's say, baseball players or basketball players or, you know, college athletes. And so that mindset is really kind of an interesting thing, particularly as an individual, as a team. So the principle thinking really started when I began to read Dr. John Maxwell's books on leadership. And one of the first books he talked about was I think it was his first book that he published, Your Attitude Determines Your Altitude. That was really an inspirational book for me to get me to start looking at my own thoughts and my own attitudes and my own mindset. And I think these principles changed my thinking. I believe they allowed me to begin to change not only my thoughts but my choices, which then in turn made me feel better about who I am. And then, of course, the result of that over time is much more success and feeling good about yourself, having a much better sense of worth. And then, again, it inspires me to be passionate and teach others.
Which is incredible, and it's very important, and it's great work that you're doing. You believe that inherently, you know, as social creatures, we need each other for support, and we can't go really through life's trials and tribulations isolated from each other. And it's really how God created us, and you sort of continue to guide us towards this right path to keep us grounded so we can learn to really live life to the fullest. And I mentioned the introduction, changing, you know, the world one person at a time. Tell us about that mission and that deep-rooted vision that you have.
Yeah, from my own experience and where I began and where I am today, the idea of being principle-centered, which really allows us to think differently, and the way we think helps us to make different choices than possibly maybe we grew up with, or maybe what we didn't learn. In my case, is what didn't I learn, and then found out that there was a lot more smarter people than me that said, hey, here's some things you really need to consider in your life. And so that inspired me. Being a teacher, a preacher, and a keynote speaker, you can talk to a lot of people in a short period of time, which hopefully you can motivate them to do some things in their life. But I found that if you're going to make a long-lasting change in a person's life, it's walking alongside of them day by day, week by week, month by month, you know, talking about things, holding them accountable, helping them to be consistent over time, so that the principles can begin to have an impact internally. And so that became my passion. So that's why I opened up my practice, and I've been doing this for over 30 years and, you know, 45,000 hours of one-on-one counseling with people. It's just a tremendous benefit, not only to others, but to my life as well, because, of, you know, what the Chinese say, if you want to learn, teach. And as I teach the principles, I'm reminded to live those principles and think those principles myself. It's just something I'm passionate, I believe wholeheartedly in, that if you can understand the principles that are there, they really can change your life. And literally, I went from trying to survive to learning to thrive and grow. And as I said, I continue to do that. I'm 68 years old and still working full time, and still haven't come to the place where I think it's time to quit. So I just feel passionate about helping people change their lives and turn their lives around.
Which is wonderful, again, you know, that you're doing your life's work and thoroughly, you know, gung-ho about it, which I think is fantastic. Your work is unequivocally rooted in compassion and truth and profound belief that your clients have the innate capacity for growth, right? And the style,
yes,
nurturing, supportive, yet direct, and you have this unique insight and ability to empathize and motivate and inspire those who seek your guidance. Where do you think all of that comes from when you dig deep into who you are?
Well, I think it's founded in my values, the values that people are made and created in the image of God, that we all have intrinsic value, and that no matter where we come from or where we start, that there is intrinsic value in who we are as humans that sets us apart from everything else. And those values then have to be lived out in our life in some way. And my experience as a counselor has been that a lot of people have not been exposed to what I would call life-changing mindsets. And when we can expose them to truths that are universally true, that can help people to change the way they think, which then changes the way they make decisions, which then changes their behavior. So I tell people that if the principles of persistency and consistency over time make everything permanent. So we tell people, we practice to make permanent, never perfect. We practice to growth, because growth and progress is really what it's about. We also practice the idea of being self-compassion. We say that shoulds are not good, and when you have shoulds in your life, then you tend to beat yourself up and get in this negative cycle of internal negative beliefs about oneself. And so we tell people that you have to first be compassionate with yourself as you grow, and to be able to have some kind of insight. And so we try to give people the insight. We try to help them walk the pathway and saying, you know, where do you want to end up? Where do you want to be in a year, 5 years, 10 years? What's that look like for you? And then we start where that person is, and we walk them through that process.
It's so important. And that's the thing, walk them through, which I think is very, very important. And not to just jump right in, but sometimes some people require, they prefer being eased in and then going from there, which I think is a beautiful thing. You know, through your consulting work, too, you work with nonprofits and small businesses to sort of map out a plan and achieve specific objectives. And unlike coaching, you provide guidance, solutions, and results. Tell us, let's expand a little bit on some of that work that you do as well, the consultancy work.
Yeah, I don't do as much of that as I used to because I've gotten more into the writing and speaking and coaching. But, you know, I work with nonprofits and small businesses, helping them to get started because I know how hard it was for me. Not having someone to kind of walk them through the pitfalls and, you know, helping them to understand, okay, what is your long-term objectives? And we try to help people work on a 1, 5, and 10-year basis and say, what is that? And every year you're really looking at those 1, 5, and 10 and making adjustments. I found that once you start making those objectives, which are more long-term generalized concepts, and then you look at them and say, okay, what do I need to be doing in the next month, 3 months, 6 months, year on a daily basis to move me in the direction of my objectives? So those become very simple, measurable goals. And then we sit down and help them to map those things out. We do what I would call envisioning as groups, depending on how large the group is, if it's a small group. I also work with family-owned businesses because family-owned businesses have a whole unique set of issues because they have family dynamics, plus they have a business to run. And so I work with those as well because that really helps me because I'm both a counselor and a coach and a consultant. And so, you know, sometimes you need to go back and forth between those particular hats and help them walk through the processes, help them to understand the obstacles in their path, whether it's, you know, trauma, whether it's just the dynamics of relationship or whether it's their mindset, and just kind of walk them through the process and help them to map out their goals and objectives and then hold them accountable.
And that's the thing, right? Hold them accountable, which is very important.
Yes.
You, when you're first working with somebody, take us through those very first few steps. Do you do an initial assessment? How do you, if somebody's listening right now and they're like, I would really like what I'm hearing here and I want to make that connection, is there a prerequisite? What can they expect in the beginning? And how does your process work in the very beginning when you're working with somebody?
The first step, of course, is looking at what their objectives, what it is that they want to accomplish, and see if I think that I am the right fit for them. If not, I have other people that I know that I can connect them with. If they are looking for something specific that I really don't think that I am trained in or my expertise. And then from there, we then set a time, and typically about an hour, maybe a little longer, where I do what I call a motivational interviewing. So I interview to say, you know, what is it that you want to accomplish? What are your goals? Get to know them, get to know what they think their obstacles are, and just basically just that interview process. And then from that, I will take that information, map out what I think I can do, and then we come back and sit down and say, here's what I think I can do, and this is what the contract would look like. And then they decide to sign, then we go from there.
That's great. And then, you know, you also, which I think is quite exciting, you've had this opportunity to work with John Maxwell and also Dr. Daniel Amen. And Dr. Amen, actually, I've known personally because I interviewed him multiple times over the years on PBS during his public television specials, and he's an extraordinary person as well. How does having your what you've garnered and gained from working with folks like a John Maxwell, like a Dr. Daniel Amen, enhanced what you do?
Well, obviously, those two gentlemen are more knowledgeable than I will ever be in my life. John Maxwell I've known since 1979. That's when I first heard him speak the first time. And then, of course, later, I think 2010, I became a John Maxwell coach and speaker. I'm on his John Maxwell team. I was one of the first 1,000 that he went through that program of John Maxwell team. So I have just tons of information. I weekly, monthly, I'm on his mentor calls. He's just an inspiration. And so he just inspired me. That's one of the first things that I learned from him, is to look at my own life and say, whew, first two principles. It was, what are your top five strengths? And if you are not living 80%, working 80% out of your strengths, then you are just surviving. And so that's kind of where it started for me. Dr. Amen, I've spent about 65 hours of training under him. I do ADD and ADHD training using his system. And so I'm constantly listening to his work. And I have to take a test every year to stay certified. So there's a lot of medical jargon that, you know, as a psychiatrist, I'm not familiar with, but it just expands my mind. I think one of the things that I look at, it was my value, is if I'm not learning, I'm dying. If I'm not learning and growing, then I'm dying, and I want to continue to learn and keep my mind active. And so it's two different ways and two different areas of growth for me. One is in leadership and business, and the other is in specifically being able to do testing with people and coaching people with ADD and ADHD. I'm ADHD myself, and so that's one of the reasons I got into it. I have 12 grandkids. I've got two grandsons who are on the autistic spectrum. And so that becomes also a personal thing, which is also, if you've interviewed him, you know that that was also personal. It's kind of how he got started in doing all of his research on ADD and ADHD. So I am now passed a certification this last year to be a brain functional coach. And so I do a lot of coaching with people who have ADD and ADHD. I also do the testing using his process. I have the opportunity to send several people up to his clinic in Chicago, which is his nearest clinic to us. But he's just a terrific man. He's actually a little bit younger than me, but he's just a terrific inspiration when it comes to understanding how the brain functions, particularly with people who are ADD or ADHD. And just that's just fascinating, keeps me interested, and keeps me growing.
Exactly. And the work he's done on the Alzheimer's connection and everything else is absolutely amazing. We have to really take care of our brains and feed our brains, you know, good things, which is so incredibly important. You know, you also, we've touched upon it a little bit, love to get out there and bring to light topics in your keynote speaking. Tell us about the keynote speaking and how that works for you, and some of the topics that you like to share with the audience.
Yeah, in keynote speaking, a lot of it determines on the, obviously, the group and what it is that they're looking to do. Obviously, there's certain things that I do really, really well, and I love doing. I go to mental health conferences and speak on ADD and ADHD. One of the topics was ADHD and the alcoholic brain. We talked about ADD and ADHD and brain functionality. So those are topics that I really love to talk about. And then I've done things on marriage. I have a book I'm writing that is called The 7 Gifts, Essentials for a Healthy Relationship, which is an outgrowth of my first book on my dissertation on marriage therapy. And then obviously we've talked about the principle-centered living. And so those are topics that we talk about. I also have talked to people in the field, mental health field. I talked a little bit about and delivered several keynote speaking on my whole dissertation and my project of creating my own marriage process for marriage therapy. And so those are some things. You know, I've had some things in my life. I broke my neck when I was 40. I had a couple times I have delivered a motivational overcoming difficulties in your life. I call it, have you ever had a really bad day? So that's kind of a fun topic for me to talk about. about how I broke my neck and how I've recovered and how that inspired me to do other things. And not letting the obstacles of life get in the way of continuing to grow. And so those are some fun kinds of things I've done. Really passionate about the brain and, neurology of the brain and the process of the brain. I have several friends, and my mother-in-law passed away from dementia, so that's another reason I got into the brain functionality to say, you know, what really is happening there. So the brain is just something that's fascinating. So those are some of the things and topics I tend to ask people. Well, what is it? What's the audience? What are you trying to accomplish? I have other people in my consulting business that can speak on other things that are maybe not my specialty, but we talk to everybody and say, you know, what do you want to accomplish? What is it specifically you would like to talk about? Whether it's leadership, I talk about the five levels of leadership. So there's just a variety of topics that are of interest to me, and I am very passionate about.
Which is terrific. And again, I think people realize that. They realize your passion. You mentioned the growth mindset being very important for healing. Mm-hmm. It really is, isn't it?
It is. There's been several research projects on the whole idea that when people are ill, say for instance somebody has cancer or somebody has heart disease, my dad had heart disease all his life, the mindset is really important in the healing process. If you are in that mindset that you're just trying to survive, then you're probably not going to live as long as if you have a mindset that says, you know, I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to work through this, and I'm going to thrive in spite of. And there have been many people who have, even in the process of cancer and dying, have those last 3 years of their life thrived, and their mindset was positive. And those are inspirational to me. And so I just think that no matter what happens in your life, your mindset is the one thing you have control over. I may not be able to control what's happening outside. I didn't control the accident where I broke my neck, but I do have the mindset. I do have the choice of the mindset I choose to deal with whatever happens.
Right, exactly. Which is incredible. It really, really is. It's beautiful work you're doing, Doctor. If folks want to make contact with you, what's the best way they can do that with websites and things of that nature?
Yeah, my drdoncoaching.com is my website for the coaching consulting business. Counseling is newlife-counseling.com. I've got information on both sites about my Dr. Don coaching and consulting either way. Those are probably the best way to get a hold of me. You can email me directly from either one of those websites as well.
That's terrific. Before we go, what is mm-hmm. one or two things about this work that really speaks to your heart and soul, Doctor?
I really want people to know that no matter where they come from, I grew up in a very poor background. But no matter where you come from, whatever obstacles are in your way, they are opportunities for growth. And my passion is to really help people understand that. No matter where you start, you can always learn to grow and thrive. What the end result of that is going to be is dependent upon the work that you do and the consistency, persistency over time. And so we try to really help people understand that. But that is my passion, to help people grow. That is my mindset. It's my mission in life, as long as I have breath and my mind is sound, to continue to use what God has given me to bless people and help people.
Dr. Don Gilbert of New Life joining us here on Close Up Radio Live for part two of the series. Dr. Gilbert, a real pleasure to have you here, and thanks for all of your wit and wisdom and the beautiful work you're doing. I applaud you for that, and I really appreciate all the time you spend sort of really inspiring us and giving us an opportunity to look further into our own lives, and by you being so authentic, sharing yours, hope you enjoy the time with me as much as I have with you, and hope we get a chance to chat some more down the line. That'd be a pleasure.
I appreciate it, Jim. It's been a pleasure.
You be well, and you have a terrific rest of your day. DrDonCoaching.com, that's D-R-D-O-N and the word coaching.com. Also, New Life, N-E-W-L-I-F-E, dash or hyphen, counseling.com. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time till next time. Also inviting you to stay right there. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another incredible guest live from around the world on Close-Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close-Up Radio, a division of Close-Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.